Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so besides the Bears and Bills, which was nothing but quarterback play, let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff. What about Ja'Marr Chase? The Bengals apparently can't feel really, really, really good about their draft pick, what with him not being able to catch a football.
Well, he didn't play football for a year. Like, people who just thought you can miss football for a year and you're fine. No other sport will we say that. You miss 2 weeks and we're like, oh, he's just so rusty. It's just the amount of rust on this player, this basketball player, this football player, this baseball player. If you miss 2 months, I mean, 2 weeks, you're the rustiest player ever. You miss 2 months, you might as well be dead. You miss a year in football and everyone's like, so what? Big deal. Missed a year of football. What's the big deal? Oh, you don't know how to catch now? Mm-hmm. You don't know how to catch. It's kind of a weird.
So he dropped three balls.
Three targets. Three drops.
All three drops and all on third down.
Devontae Smith dropped. He had 2 catches for 19 yards. He had 2 drops also.
So, listen. He had 6 drops all year, Ja'Marr Chase, his last year at LSU. But again, he didn't play last year. So whether or not, I don't know if he was, on the jugs gun.
By the way, 2 more drops for Ja'Marr Chase in practice on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was reported also after the drops in the game on when did they play? Friday? Sunday, Ja'Marr Chase had 2 more drops during practice per Kelsey Conway of Cincinnati Inquirer. One of the drops came in the end zone on a throw from Joe Burrow. The ball went off Chase's hands and was intercepted by Von Bell. Chase had 3 drops on Friday night against Washington. Although the mistakes happened in a meaningless game, the video of the drops got heavy rotation on highlight shows and on social media. It's impossible to think Chase didn't see or hear the criticism. This puts even more pressure on him to make each and every catch. The dropsies are a real problem because it gets to be mental and it gets to be really a confidence thing. And so Ja'Marr Chase, who didn't play football last year, the last game action he had before the preseason game was in a national championship game against Clemson. That was pre-COVID. That's how long ago that was. So it takes time, It takes time. I think he'll be fine, but when it's in his head right now, I think there's a concern. There's going to be a concern about him getting, it's going to be maybe getting in his head a little bit. I think that's a concern.
Oh, it absolutely could get in his head.
You got Joe Burrow, who may be in his head about his knee right now, and then you got your other first pick, Ja'Marr Chase, the very next year from LSU, who's got drop issues. I expected the Bengals. I really kind of expected an intriguing year from them offensively, but right now, it feels a little bit up in the air.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're going to have some problems. Does this change things? I mean, who cares? But does this change things on where Ja'Marr Chase gets drafted in fantasy? His preseason?
Oh, I would think that it's impossible not to hear about these concerns. Well, I mean, I can just tell you, for me, I haven't done a fantasy draft yet. In my head, I'm concerned about it because I know it's a mental thing. And any time, we talk about with Fromber. In any sport, if you have something that can be a mental issue, it's a concern because it's a confidence thing. And if Joe Burrow loses confidence in him at all, Joe would never say he is, but if he does, then Tyler Boyd, they go back to Tyler Boyd, you go back to the tight end, you go back to maybe Joe Mixon out of the backfield.
Would you draft T. Higgins ahead of Ja'Marr Chase right now?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe, because T gets down the field, too. T's a vertical. So, yeah, I might consider it. I don't know that I'd draft either one of them. If you think Ja'Marr Chase has got drops and Joe Burrow, you're not sure how the knee is. Right now, immediately, I'm like, Jamar's off the table. I don't even think about Ja'Marr now. It's just too much. I don't want those question marks right now if I had to draft in fantasy right now. And our auction is coming up
next week.
Next week, yeah.
Yeah.
So
no, the week after next.
I don't think I to me it doesn't I'm not too excited about Jamar right now. Maybe that'll change, but I just have to go by if you have a quarterback that's not 100% and you've got the drops and you're a rookie, I can't get that. And you got Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins already there. Not super excited about it.
No, no. Any other news and notes that were apparently Mike Vrabel has tested positive for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what kind of issue that is for that football team. But the coach, the head coach is out with in COVID protocol. Anything else that you saw over the weekend that's newsable?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's something that we have actually that we've kind of skipped over. Some would say intentionally, some would say unintentionally. I'll let Spencer Tillman tell you what we've kind of missed on.
1 year contracts that are cap friendly put this team in a wonderful position for the future and the present. I don't think I've seen a better job by GM in the last decade or more.
That caught.
Nick Caserio said he doesn't. I mean, Spencer Tillman said he doesn't think he's seen a better job by a general manager in the last decade or more than Nick Caserio. What Nick Caserio has been able
to
do. I
know he's getting killed for it, and I know Spencer. I like Spencer and everything else.
Well, that's clearly hyperbole.
If we want to
strip it down, though,
yeah.
Nick Caserio's done a pretty good job.
He's done a really, really good job in an untenable situation, unwinnable situation.
But it is only a Band-Aid job. It's a bunch of one-year contracts.
But that is the question, is whether or not you go with no draft picks, with no, you don't have a first or second rounder. The question is, do you go, and you became the oldest team, Nick Caserio made them the oldest team in the NFL, which is kind of surprising for a team that's trying to. Yeah, that's trying to rebuild.
So, Terod, who are the old guys? Terod Taylor is.
Well, the Kirksey's and
Kirksey's not even 30.
Yeah, but
there's no way.
Well, the average age is like 26 or something. That's the oldest. I mean, that's the deal. Yeah, yeah. A lot of NFL teams are really young.
Old?
No. It's not a baseball old.
Basketball old?
No.
I'm trying to think of who the old guys are.
You get Mark Ingram.
I mean, Marcus Cannon is like 33.
Brandon Cooks has been around a little bit.
David came into the league in 15. That's 6 years. I guess he's, you know, he's not 30
Six
yet.
Years for a running back is, yeah. Marcus Cannon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Malik Collins hasn't been around that long.
No. Did you ask something, Aaron?
They have 8 players 30 or older on the roster.
Okay, let me see if I can name them. Terod Taylor, Marcus Cannon, Mark Ingram. Is Ingram one of them?
Marcus Cannon is not.
Marcus Cannon's not?
Nope.
Over 30? You sure he's not 32 years old? He's been around a long time.
Oh, he's 33, but he's not on their pup list, so he's not actually on the roster.
He's one that you weren't even counting.
They have 10 total.
Okay, so John Weeks is one. See?
He is the oldest at 35.
Okay, so John Weeks is one. I'm going to say along the defensive line, there's not going to be anybody on.
There is.
Whitney Mercilus.
Whitney Mercilus. Whitney Mercilus.
There's two. John Weeks, Whitney Mercilus. Marcus Cannon, 3. Terod Taylor, 4. Mark Ingram?
Correct.
31 Correct. Or 30?
31.
Okay. That's 5. Brandon Cooks isn't, is he? No. There should be no wide receivers, not even the vets they brought in. So there's no wide receivers. David Johnson's not. Not 30. No running backs. We got to be deep. Any of the linebackers, John? No.
Wide receiver, Andre Roberts.
Roberts is over 30?
33.
Holy, Roberts has been there that long?
Yeah.
Yep. You also forgot. So you already had one running back with Mark Ingram. You also forgot the other one.
Well, not Lindsey, not Johnson. Who else?
Burkhead.
Oh, yeah, Rex Burkhead's on the team.
Well, we'll see if
he
makes the
team. So we're up to 7 now. Who are the DB? Is there? Who are the DBs that are over? Can't be any DBs, are there? Linebackers, DBs. Who am I missing?
Lane Taylor's 31.
Hadn't been out there. Yeah.
Yep. Lane Taylor's out there. He's 31.
That's where the other players.
Joe Thomas is 30.
The linebacker.
Yeah.
And Justin Britt.
Okay. It usually comes from the offensive line. Yeah. I wasn't thinking with the offensive line. So Lane Taylor, who and Marcus Cannon haven't really been out there.
Well, back to Spencer's deal. Now,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, so whether or not – okay, so he put together this – now, and some people were like, oh, really, Spencer? With, and naming other GMs that have done, you know, that have done great things and put together rosters and whatnot. Nick Caserio has done an admirable job of actually piecemealing something together out of basically nothing. Basically nothing. This it was an unmitigated disaster that he took over. And you see the guys that Kahali Warren gets cut. I mean, it seems like if you're not a Caserio, if you were a Bill O'Brien guy, you're on warning.
He couldn't play, but Kahali Warren had issues learning, and they knew. Other teams knew it. I was told that. Like, that dude looks the part of a Greek god. Tremendous athlete. Other teams said, look, he's got some issues learning the playbook. It may take him a while. You can't put him in a complicated offense. I asked, after the Texans drafted, I asked Bill O'Brien about that privately. I said, hey, what did y'all have information on, like, what was y'all's information on Kahali Warren having some learning issues? No, we didn't find that. We hadn't heard that. Well, all of a sudden he ends up on, you know, injured list. Like he can't be active and healthy. And I got it from somebody on that staff that there was an issue with that. So that just shows they were ill prepared. And that one is also on Brian Gain. I mean, Brian Gain was the GM for that one. But why hang on to him? Kahali Warren can't get on the field with the team who drafted him.
Listen, they're not hanging on to anybody.
I want to say something. Anthony Auclair, number 83, and Pharaoh Brown, who I was not a big fan of coming out, number 85. Those guys got after it as blockers on Saturday. Anthony Auclair was sticking to guys as a blocker, as a wide tight end. He was drafted by Tampa. He's another Frenchie who needed some time to develop. But I think he's going to be a pretty good blocking tight end for the Houston Texans. Keep your eyes on him. I don't know if he's going to catch a lot of passes. But that's another good job by Nick Caserio and Matt Bazergan and all the guys on the pro side who are sitting there. I think Baz is on the pro side. Finding guys like that off of other people's rosters. That's a good job because he's going to play. Anthony Auclair and then Pharaoh Brown, another one who came off of, I think, Cleveland, who was cut by Cleveland, who the Texans picked up, you know, a couple years ago or last year. He did a nice job blocking too. So, you know, being a GM, part of it is just making your roster better. Even if you're not going to be a good team, you still want player number 45 to be better than they were last year.
Yeah.
Player number 51 on the roster, you want to be better. And I think they are.
So in Spencer's initial, it's hyperbole.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, Nick Caserio has done a pretty good job in a situation that was that he had the worst situation, and it's not even close, of any GM. Any GM taking over a team, maybe in how long, with no first and second rounder and with the lack of talent and with your franchise quarterback who's in this situation, everything that Nick Caserio walked into, you can't ask for a worse situation. If they're any good at all, you have got to give big ups to Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I think he has done a nice job of. Now, frankly, there was nowhere to go but up, right?
Right.
It was hard to do worse than Bill O'Brien. But with that said, I think he's done a good job of, you know, the Lovie Smith hire was huge. There are some people who believe David Culley was hired because Nick Caserio knew that he would be a weak head coach and that Nick would have, A, no pushback, and, B, Nick could get on the field because Nick loves being a coach.
Yeah.
Like, he's a former wide receiver coach. He's out there with position groups all the time.
Well,
like
he and Jack Easterby I saw on the sideline.
You see
too,
Coach Easterby dapping people
saw coach
up and
Easterby,
off the field?
Yeah, he's doing a hell of a job.
Coach Easterby's done a great job of getting those guys hyped up and ready to play. I can only believe that Coach Easterby helped get the Rock Boys ready for – Rock Boys are out there.
I like the DBs, their celebration, though. Did you see it? The DBs got a different – they ain't Rock Boys. It's pretty cool.
And Minihu keeps doing his same move where he opens his arm, extends his arm.
No, they're doing a – there's a coordinated point to the sky that the DBs are doing. It's pretty cool. It's not Rock Boys.
No.
Let's put it this way. It's not Rock Boys, which is – awesome.
Yeah.
You know what else is awesome? Allstate Siding.
Allstate Siding is phenomenal. They have been in business for over 50 years now. Started in 1971. And what's really, really cool about them is that, you know, they are here in Houston. This is what they do. This is who they are. They've got windows that will help make it more quiet for you so that you get a, you know, really shut down a lot of that noise that's outside your windows. They're much more energy efficient because they retrofit the windows. If you have a house that does a lot of moving and you've had foundation work done, there's a chance your windows are not what they once were when they were in. They're not fit the same way, so they become drafty. They'll retrofit it perfectly so that you don't have those drafts. They're also built with lifetime transferable warranties. So if you've got double pane windows that are kind of foggy right now, that means you got a cheap window. Let the professionals at Allstate Siding and Windows handle it for you. Go to the website and check it out for yourself. AllstateSidingandWindows.com. They do great siding work. Their windows are top notch. 25% off all your windows or buy 10, get 2 free right now. 832-204-1936, or go to the website for more information at AllstateSidingandWindows.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 819 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Our Astros lost yesterday, 6-3 in extra innings. What a job by Fromber. But he, unfortunately, they couldn't hold on. Graveman gave up a run in the eighth, and then Presley gave up the tying run in the ninth, and then in the 11th, Kyle Seager with the three-run bomb. They lose by 3. 6-3 was your final. They got Kansas City tonight, and they've got them for 3, the day off Thursday, and then they're at Texas. Okay, they've got 6 games against 2 of the worst teams in baseball. If they don't finish, I mean, I'm almost just go 4-2. I would say you have to go 5-1.
Yeah.
But just go 4-2.
I just want double sweepers.
You know what could happen? They could go 2-4 against these two teams because that's what they do for whatever reason. Seattle comes in here at 9 games over 500, and the Astros just kick the snot out of them. Kansas City, worst team in baseball, you lose 3 out of 4.
Mm.
You lose 3 out of 4 to them. So I'm just, you know what? Take 4. Just win. Just have a winning record against these two terrible teams, and that's all you can do. And they're facing 3 guys who they couldn't handle last time: Lynch, Singer, and Minor. So this is, it's, I don't even know that I'm, I don't know that, I don't know that they win any of these games.
What? What?
I'm just disgusted.
What are you talking about?
I'm just disgusted with the way that they play against crappy teams. I don't want to see a crappy team in here. Put a good team. What are the Dodgers doing this week? How about Tampa?
I don't want
that. Can we get Tampa?
No, we want to keep playing bad teams.
No.
Come on.
Where's the Red Sox? Are we done with them?
No, we need to keep playing
on.
Bad teams.
I mean, honestly, Kansas City again? That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare for this team. That's a nightmare. So you got 3 at home. They better beat their ass. You got Greinke, Garcia, and McCullers going against these guys. You better just beat their ass. That's all. Stop already. You can't hit Singer? Really? You can't hit a Singer. You can't hit Lynch. Last time, Lynch gave up 1 run to you. 1 run. Singer just destroyed you. And you were able to beat them in the minor start. But you're facing 3 guys that you just did nothing against last time. You had to come back and win in 10 innings against minor last time. That's how bad this is. Let's not do that again, okay?
No, but you need – well, you know, we can't sit and complain about the bats. I mean, they scored double-digit runs in two of the games.
And then yesterday.
Like, it crapped out on Sunday, but still should have been a win if the bullpen does their job.
Well, yeah.
So it was Graveman.
And
Astros just asked, hey, could you get some – can y'all stop somebody this time? We got you the runs. We got you an abundance of runs the first two games. How about y'all do your job?
And it was it was Graveman, it was Presley, and that's the best you got. You can't ask for any more. Fromber did his job. The bats leaving 13 runners on base. How many times did they leave second and third or bases loaded? That was just ridiculous. Just ridiculous yesterday. So, that's another one that you look back on at the end of the year. When you're going to Tampa in the ALCS, when you're going to Tampa instead of Tampa coming here, and you have a home field advantage, you look back at these games. These are the ones.
You know, we talked about the fact that you're going to deal with some questions. Alex Bregman is going to be with the club sooner rather than later. I don't know that he's hitting the way that they wanted him to, but I guess from a physical standpoint, he's where he wants to be. Jose Urquidy, there has been Jose Urquidy sightings. He is in the state, is with the organization still, and we may actually see him with the big club sometime in September, obviously. But when Tucker gets back and Bregman gets back and Urquidy gets back, there is going to be some shifting where now there's a decision, okay, how do you deal with Aledmys Díaz? Because Aledmys Díaz is, you know, obviously extremely talented in terms of hitting right now, and he's doing a great job. I think he just goes back to a role of playing different positions every other day just so they can get him in the lineup. When Yordan sits, are they going to sit Yordan to get other bats in the lineup? Well, I mean, if he's DHing, why would you ever sit Yordan? The guy's banging out home runs at a great clip again. I mean, he was hitting home runs again this weekend. Jake Meyers looks like the truth. Jake Meyers looks really good. Where McCormick has power, he swings from his heels a little bit.
He strikes out a lot.
Yeah, he's going to strike out a lot. Jake Meyers looks like more of a complete hitter. You know, McCormick may find getting ABs is going to be tougher the way Jake Meyers is playing, especially when Tucker comes back. How Dusty manages those at-bats and then how he manages his bullpen. He didn't do anything. Dusty didn't do anything wrong. Fromber went seven innings. Dusty played it the way it's supposed to be played yesterday. You go to Graveman, then you go to, Presley. And it's just both those guys let him down. Once they got into the extra innings, they had bases loaded, no outs, and struck out three straight to end that inning. That game, I thought the game was over, honestly. I was going to a memorial for my buddy Sean Tier's dad, and it was bases loaded, nobody out. I stopped paying attention. I didn't have it on. I was, tracking it on my phone, and I'm like, okay, good guys win. Sucks for Fromber, though. Fromber, wish Fromber is going to get this win, but oh well. Sucks for him. Astros win. I get out of the memorial. My dad's calling all pissed off about, how do you strike out a three straight? I'm like, wait, what happened, Dad? Oh, yeah, he struck out three straight.
Unbelievable.
And then Stanek, the guy with the long hair.
Yeah, and then Stanek came along.
Yeah, long-haired guy. But they
did that the whole game. They left 13 on base.
I know. They were their own worst enemies.
They were. So, but you got Kansas City in here, and you can't beat a Kansas City. So, the rest of this week is probably destroyed. We are going to be at, speaking of the rest of this week, we're going to be in College Station on Wednesday. We're going to do our show from College Station from the Bright Center. I think it's the Bright Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to do our show from the Bright Center.
I'm excited about
it. Yeah, I am too. We got Jimbo's going to join us. Buzz Williams is going to join us. We've got players that are going to really good football players that are going to be joining us. It's going to be, and then we'll talk to the traffic guy again, which is
are you sure
always my doing? Favorite interview. It's always my favorite interview of the year.
I hope it's listeners.
The
favorite.
Texas A&M traffic guy. I wish that not that we have to worry about traffic at the Texans game anymore. So that's not going to be an issue, but I wish the Texans when they were good, when they had fans at the stadium, I wish that they had this Texas A&M traffic guy because he knew how to handle it.
Yeah, he was good. I don't think you're going to have to deal with that. Now, if you're out at the games, though, whether it's for our hometown team or maybe for the Ags, whatever the case may be, and you're doing tailgates, Our guy Michael from Pete's Fine Meats has tailgate packages. Ribs, you get tri-tip. He's very, very – one thing I'm very excited about are those tri-blend burgers that he has that are made with – it's got brisket, it's beef short rib, and I think – I don't know if it's chuck or sirloin. I'm not sure what the third meat is, but they are phenomenal, as you know. We just got an 8-pack vacuum sealed, and we're going to have that tonight after the kids' first day of school. He can get you set up with your own tailgate party every single time, whether you're tailgating or whether it's just – you know, just you on the weekend, John. You know how that goes. Out there on your patio, you need the best meat. When it comes to making the best barbecue, you need the best meat. And our butcher, and this is a butcher shop.
Yeah.
They do deer processing. It's a true butcher shop. They'll cut in front of your face. They'll cut the steaks to your thickness level.
Yeah. No, it Michael is awesome. And he's great for the community. He's unbelievable with his church. He is awesome to us. He is awesome to the listener. You tell him you're an ESPN 97.5 listener, and trust me, he is going to take care of you. He's going to put together a package for you that you will love. You're looking for the best in meat? It's Pete's Fine Meats. It's on Richmond near Chimney Rock. Tell Michael you heard it right here.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We haven't talked about, did you see the Rockets' schedule?
Yeah, why?
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you see how many nationally televised games they have?
A ton.
It's unbelievable. It's really one.
Yeah, I thought the over-under was a half.
They hit the over.
Yeah.
They hit the over. They got an ESPN game against Detroit. So I guess it's the number one and number two pick. I guess that's why ESPN wanted that game. Do you have to be on? Does everybody have to be on? Because you know, everybody has to have a Thursday night game in the NFL. Does everybody have to be on ESPN once? November 10th, the Rockets play Detroit. Now they do have three NBA TV games. Does that count as a nationally televised game?
No.
No.
No, not NBA TV. NBA, what channel is it?
601.
Nope.
On Xfinity.
Oh, Xfinity. I thought you were DirecTV.
No,
I forget.
No. 601, I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's 60. It's something like that. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Just because I know or don't know what the channel is, it's a nationally televised game because it goes out to a national audience.
No, not a really... NBA TV is not nationally televised. People don't know where that is.
Yes, but that's a national... Yes, it is. If it's seen across the nation...
across all major cable platforms, NBA
TV? No one
TV?
Knows that.
Well, that's pretty important.
No, it's not. It's not. But there are three NBA TV games, and there's one. And they start with, surprisingly, they don't have a Christmas Day game.
They're not.
They weren't included in that.
How disrespectful.
No, they weren't included in that. As a matter of fact, let's see where they put the Rockets. I didn't put them anywhere near Christmas. December 23rd against the Pacers.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
And then they got the Hornets on the 27th. So they said, you guys just take 4 days off around Christmas. You're good. Don't worry about it.
Just take
don't
them worry. Off?
We don't want you guys working. We want you to have fun with your family.
I can tell you, as soon as Jalen Green was drafted by the Rockets, one of the things that someone should have told him was, listen, the good news is you're going to have your Christmas. You know, your Christmas is going to be open for you this year. You're not going to have to worry about that. Yeah, but I thought that was the cool day to play.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it is, but still. I thought I always used to watch the Rockets play on Christmas Day. Yeah, I know. But they're going to take a little break now. The Rockets were almost always a lock to play on Christmas.
Harden. For years.
With James Harden, you're going to be a Christmas team.
Yeah. NBA Christmas games, it's the Lakers and the Nets that are the feature game. What are the NBA 21-22. Christmas Day is actually going to be pretty good. Giannis is on it. Let me see. Where is Christmas Day? Come on. This is ridiculous. Anyway, the main game is going to be Nets and Lakers. Is that the premier game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Or Bucks and Nets.
No, super team.
It's
Legion of Doom versus the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
it's NWO versus NWO. There's no good guys. It's just two bad guy teams.
It really is.
There's two bad guy teams.
Are the Lakers going to? The Bucks are going to be better than the Lakers are.
Yes, I believe so. I still think Anthony Davis being healthy is like such a major swing. But when is he healthy? Ever? Anthony Davis is always getting hurt.
Yeah.
So at some point, LeBron is physically, it's going to take its toll. At some point, this is what happens with everyone's career. Every veteran, at some point, no matter how durable, the first sign of problems is injury. And we saw it last year with LeBron. And what you start seeing is soft tissue. You start seeing, I think, some load management type stuff. I think we could be seeing year two of LeBron facing some injury concerns that he hasn't had during his career. It's natural for the wear and tear.
Are you with him that when ESPN put out 10 NBA executives that has asked who was the best player in the NBA? Five said Durant and five said Giannis, and LeBron was PO.
Oh, he went to Twitter to make sure everyone knew he saw it. Eyeballs. Oh. Okay, keep that same energy, washed king. Like, okay, we get it. Somebody disrespected you. Your 17th year in the league or whatever, where everyone has praised you as either, you know, the second best player that's ever lived, or some people the best player that's ever lived. But now, now you're being so disrespected.
Oh, don't worry. In his Hall of Fame induction, he's going to, those NBA executives are going to hear it. Don't worry. They're going
to
hear it.
I want to harken back to 2021. You guys may remember when 10 executives were pulled by The Athletic. I think it was like Sham Sharani or whatever had pulled 10. Only 10 executives even answered, and none of them had me. Do you guys remember that? No, we don't really remember that. What? Yeah, well, I did, and I still do. To all those guys, I showed you, we were out in the second round of the playoffs, but I averaged 24, 9, and 8. The first player ever at my age to do that. So how about that? Like, okay, great. Well, what about the titles and stuff? Yeah. But remember when they called me Wash King? Like, who called you that? Nobody actually called you that. You call yourself that to make yourself mad. What? And he'll be like, why are y'all yelling back at me from this audience? Well, it's just you keep asking us questions. So we're answering. You call yourself Wash King. I don't think anyone called you that.
Why does he sound like Norm MacDonald? Yeah. Why is?
Maybe you guys remember I was a Wash King. They called me the Wash King, and I ran out there and I had 28 points.
When did LeBron get that voice?
Oh, hey everybody! It looks like Anthony Davis might come play. Hopefully, he'll be in a lineup today. Kyle Kuzma. Well, that guy's a lot of fun to be with.
Kyle Kuzma. It starts with the Hawks and Knicks.
Yeah, say the Hawks got a pretty good team there.
Trey Young.
The Capella guy with the thing in his hair. We had that guy too, Schroeder. Oh, boy. Hey. Wow.
Then the Celtics at Bucks. See, I think by this time, by Christmas, the Lakers aren't going to be the best team. This is not the best. Nets, the Bucks and the Nets would be the best matchup.
Right.
Those are going to be the best two teams in the league. Who's the best team in the West going into the season?
Best team in the West. It's never going to be Mavericks because they can't figure it out. Kawhi's back but won't play, so I can't make it them. We can't just say Golden State Warriors. I know you want to sneak a Golden State Warrior in there, but I don't know if I'm ready to do that. I think it's going to be I think it's the Suns. I think it's got to be the Suns
still. Or the Jazz.
Or the Nuggets.
Or the Nuggets. And the Nuggets.
Suns, Jazz, Nuggets. Western Conference.
Sleep tight.
And they're not bad teams. They're good teams.
No, they're really good teams.
But I'm just saying, when it switches, when the balance of power switches, now, I'm sure there's some LeBron t-shirt fans out there who are like, are we really just going to act like LeBron James doesn't exist? And there's a chance they could be number one. Yeah, sure. Lakers could be number one.
I didn't see that last year. And, oh, by the way, you know, Anthony Davis is going to he's going to sit his 24 games.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, everyone's going to say, well, if Anthony Davis is healthy, well, the fact that you have to say if Anthony Davis is healthy is a big, big problem because he's never healthy.
Never.
He hardly ever stays fully healthy. But if they did, if he is healthy, then the Lakers are probably the best team. I don't even think you can say that anymore. The Suns, then don't we have to say for the Suns if Chris Paul's healthy?
Yeah.
Don't we have to say that? I'm not really saying
in a grueling schedule, though, Chris Paul stayed healthy.
Jamal Murray is going to come back healthy. He'll come back from his injury.
Yeah.
The Nuggets are going to be, you know, reckoned with. And then I guess with the Jazz, it's just the same thing we do every year. Wow, what a good regular season team.
That's what they are.
And then they Jazz out in the playoffs.
Dallas at Utah is the final game of the day on Christmas. So
fun game there.
Yeah.
Not a big one.
No, that is a good one if you want to stay up, and you'll still be, if you're still up and watching, and our Rockets for whatever reason.
We used to see movies on Christmas night. Like me and Nicole, we used to watch a lot more movies at the time, but you know, we used to go. I remember the Rockets beat the Bulls, I remember, is a big deal. And then we went and saw, what was the movie about the revenge?
Of the nerds.
No. The revenge for, it was basically revenge assassinations for the, when the Israeli team was killed from the Olympics. It was called Munich. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think that was the movie is called Munich. We went and saw Munich. But we used to go see movies
on Christmas.
Nice,
lighthearted Christmas movie.
Very lighthearted.
Wow.
Very nice.
Nothing says Christmas like that.
Like revenge killings. Hey, guys, we're going to go. Mimi, can you watch kids? We're going to go watch a bunch of revenge killings.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 72 Olympics. Israeli, yeah. Okay. The Mossad got involved and started doing some revenge killings. We're going to watch that. Yeah, the guy who was the Hulk. It was the guy who played Hulk. He's in this, too. I think it's called Munich. I'm pretty sure that's what the movie is called.
Kyle from South Park was not delivering LeBron's Hall of Fame speech. I don't know who that was. It sounded like, I don't know. The Rockets don't have a Hanukkah game, Art. They don't.
No, they don't. Well, actually, yes, they do. Every NBA team will have Hanukkah games. Hanukkah lasts a little while.
Yeah, it does.
So inside there, every team should be playing. I don't know if they'll.
What,
say one
what
game
if
is
the
a
NBA
game
said,
necessarily.
But listen, Rockets, we're going to give you guys 12 days off because we don't want you playing any time during the holidays. Because just afraid you're going to ruin our ratings. Just afraid of it. 842 on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Back to Texans talk on the other side right here. But first, what about Craig Day Surf?
Craig from the Surf. He is from the water. It's one of the names that his people were given, and he lives out in angling country. That's why they're called Angleton. That's why it was named as such. And right now they've got great catches for you. They've got a chance for you to get your hands on a $3,000 purchase allowance for the GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab pickup truck. I was never, like, my dad, my mom never had pickup trucks. I was never been a pickup truck guy. I've driven the GMC Sierra 1500 when I had my vehicle worked on. I got it as a loaner car over there. Huh, I was blown away. It's like driving an SUV. It's so smooth. There's so much space in it. That's the thing that really blew me away is the cab behind me. There was plenty of room for my kids to sit. It was a really awesome vehicle. And if you're a pickup person, you're probably sitting there thinking, yeah, no crap, Lance. That's why we love it. But they've got a chance for you to see all their entire selection with great purchase allowances available and some really great finance rates as well. Go to LanceZCars.com, see all the vehicles they have in inventory right now, and get your next pickup truck at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson practicing today.
And Ryan Kelly. They're getting all three of their guys back. They're practicing. They're doing individual one-on-ones. They're back.
The Texans play them in week six.
Yeah.
I was hoping that they'd still be dead. But now that they're going to be alive, that's a problem. Because I was counting that as a win. Colts win. I mean, if you're going to play the Colts, you definitely should win that football game.
Yeah, Colts are – yeah. So Colts might beat them in the regular season. But right now, I like to do – you know, so, John, there's a saying that people have that live in the now, right? And I like to try to live in the now. And by living in the now, that means Governor's Cup. Because right now, what do I care about? I care about the Governor's Cup. You guys may know, obviously, long time. It's been fought over for decades between the people of Houston and the people of Dallas. And the Governor's Cup came back to Houston. And one of the guys that was instrumental in helping bring the Governor's Cup back with an early strip sack was one, Jacoob Martin.
This five-man front, the offensive line, rather, for the Cowboys, is the five that will start the season as the starting offensive line. Gilbert on third and seven.
Backside pressure comes in and stripped out. The ball stripped out by Jacoob Martin. And a fight for the football at the 24-yard line. It's exactly what Lovie Smith talked with us about yesterday, Spencer. Get to the quarterback. The quarterback has the worst ball security on the field. Instead of just getting a sack, how about a strip sack?
That was Jake. Listen, Jacoob Martin did it against, you know what? It was one against one. Good against good, as Coach Jimbo would say.
Good on good.
Good on good. And Jacoob Martin got the strip sack. Jacoob Martin is going to be a guy that's on. Does he play more or Shaq Lawson play more this year?
Jacoob Martin
plays more this year. And then, well, you still got to have a guy on the other side. I mean, so it looks like it's a Menahu, but
a Menahu is a dude.
Menahu
with two sacks his last game, but you could see it last year. Like, a Menahu is a real strong guy. I don't think he's great against the run, but he's a very strong guy. So when he gets matched up on tight ends, they're in a lot of trouble. But once he gets to your edge, he can kind of what they call it's kind of what's the phrase? Grease the edge. So meaning he doesn't get redirected real easily, even though he's a little stiff in his lower body. He's so strong he can play through weaker tackles. And I think he's going to be he's got a chance to be an 8-sack guy this year. Jacoob Martin is a problem off the edge. He's not real big, but he's got a way of slipping around the top. Whitney, to me, is turned into a face-up rusher where he's just too easy to find for tackles. And Jordan Jenkins is not a great pass rusher, but the twist game is going to get some guys open. We saw Russ Blacklock for the second game in a row have some moments where he flashed. I think it's going to really benefit him being on the move with some of the twists that Lovie is going to call. I know people make fun of us. You guys have him going Super Bowl. No, I still haven't won about five games. But I think the defense is going to take the ball away a lot more.
I do too.
And I think you're going to have to strap it up against the Texans every once in a while because their front is going to be a little better than before. And I don't know where the points are coming from, but I think the defense will keep them in some games a little longer than last year. Last year's defense put Deshaun – there's a reason Deshaun led the league in – passing yards. It's because he had to throw all the freaking time.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely, because they were always behind because their defense was so bad because they had to always come back. Even when they had the lead, they had to throw the ball because they knew that the defense wouldn't hold them. Yeah, one of Menahu's sacks was just he ran inside. They did a TE stunt, and he just ran inside and nobody touched him. But you know what? Give a big ups to Lovie. And now, will that happen against number one offensive lines? We'll see. We see it happen every once in a while. This defense is night and day from last year, night and day. What did you think of Davis Mills?
I thought he was okay. I keep hearing people – I think people want so badly for him to be good that they try to every little thing.
I also saw people that were just destroying
him. No, it's somewhere in between.
Yeah, I think it is too.
I thought his first couple series – like his first three series against the twos, I didn't think were very good. He wasn't throwing guys open. He was having a hard time getting the placement where he wanted to, which has been, to me, a recurring issue with the easy throw, the placement on easy throws. But one thing he does well is he throws a pretty deep ball, like in a mid-range throw. He can really throw it with some touch, and he can really drop it in there, give his guys a chance to make a catch down the field. But I still think the growth process for him, to me, is I think it's going to take a little while. I really do. I don't think it's going to happen overnight for him. This is going to be a process that takes some time, and I think it was my number one concern. Like I wanted him to look better than I think he looks right now. I've seen some people who are really, really high on Davis Mills, and I don't see it. I don't see what the excitement. I see a third round quarterback who has 11 career starts who is trying to find his way. I don't see a I see a guy who's developmental who's going to need time. And that was my problem is, and that's fine. I mean, he's in the early stages. I don't want to beat up Davis Mills. I'm just saying this is the concern I have with this draft pick is that he's a developmental guy who needs time. We don't really have that as it pertains to this year's draft when you're going to have early picks. So he's not terrible. Davis Mills hasn't been terrible. He does not look like a starter to me in the NFL. Tyrod Taylor is a better quarterback than him. But at some point, Tyrod's probably going to have to sit the bench this year because you got to see what you have with Davis Mills.
He looks better to me than I thought he would.
Davis Mills or the veteran Jeff Driskel? Because you can have Davis technically third string. But why not have Davis third string and just getting plenty of reps in practice?
Well, you don't get plenty of reps if you're third string. What do you mean?
Well, no, that's probably true. But what I'm – because I remember when
I mean, your scout, you do the other teams. If you're third team, which, you know, Jeff Driskel probably would be a guy that comes in. Or you let – you know what? You got a second stringer and you let him run the scout team and get second team reps when you're doing offense. So I think you got to just have the ball in his hands as often as possible. That's why. Not Jeff Driskel. Jeff Driskel is just here, just a body right now. They should have left Davis Mills in there at the end of the game to see what he could do. There's no reason to be playing Jeff Driskel. There's no reason whatsoever to play Jeff Driskel.
None?
What did you think of man, I'll tell you what. Philip Lindsay has had nowhere to run. He's got 9 carries for 16 yards.
Now,
this
you don't have your starting tackles out there.
No.
But still.
There's
been no room for Philip Lindsay.
No.
And that's what he faced in Denver last year. He had some of the similar issues. But it's a little bit of a concern for me that their running game is not going anywhere. I thought the tight ends did a good job of blocking. The guards are just not getting enough movement in there. Justin Britt's doing okay. He's hanging in. I like Justin Britt more than Nick Martin. From what I've seen in 2 games, he's going to get beat. He's not the biggest, strongest guy, but he moves better than Nick Martin. I'm happier with Justin Britt there. I'm just really worried about Max Sharping, Justin McCray. Like, I don't know if these guys are going to get enough movement from a running game. I kind of wish they ran pure outside zone so you could just get guys in space and create some lanes just through being in space, cutting some guys here and there. But, I'm a little worried about the running game now. I think Mark Ingram hitting it downhill. Mark Ingram had a couple good. He looked pretty decent.
Yeah, I think he looked quicker than I thought.
David Johnson is not going to get a lot of carries this year. Frankly, if you really want to know the truth, to me you could throw Scotty Phillips or Buddy Howland there as a third running back, and I'd just say, whatever, David Johnson. But David is a big wide receiver, so he can step out and play in the slot as a running back, you know. He started his career as a wide receiver in college at Northern Iowa. So I would say if you didn't have David Johnson on his team, I would say so what? Wouldn't matter one single bit to me.
But they're going
to. Because I'm not playing David Johnson as a running back ahead of Mark Ingram or Philip Lindsay. You really want to know the truth. And I kind of like the juice that Scotty Phillips has.
Yeah. Yeah, Scotty Phillips is looking pretty good. He absolutely is. And Mark Ingram was very surprised how quick he was hit to the hole.
He's a year removed from being a 1,000-yard back.
Yeah.
He's a good short yardage back. Like I don't know why everyone was quick to write him off. I get he's 31, but
Gus Edwards.
Gus Edwards had a good season last year, and they drafted J.K. Dobbins. There just wasn't enough carries for him. Mark Ingram can still get you carries.
Yeah.
Is he an 18 carry game back? No. Can he get you 8? Yeah, I think so. I'm happy with him getting 8 in the short yardage carries.
It's weird looking at him with number 2.
Yeah, that's strange. Some of these number changes are strange.
It's going to be different. 857 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to get in here with us. 713-780-3776, the number. If you weren't here a little bit earlier, we talked about Deshaun Watson. We'll revisit that on the other side. But first, you got to get yourself a little insurance from it.
TGS Insurance says text the word money to 232323, and they will within seconds. Usually takes about 15 seconds. They'll have a firm quote for you for your homeowner's insurance. What does that mean for you? Well, it means that you're shopping for insurance now. And it doesn't mean there's any strings attached. It doesn't mean you have any obligation. But what it does mean is you're actually out there looking to see if you can find a better rate with A-rated insurance companies. And that's what's important. It's A-rated insurance companies, right? So this is going to mean that you're not sacrificing your coverage, but you are looking for a better rate. And what a lot of people find, and this is the average savings, is right at $900 annually. People who have been with the same company for years find out that their savings many times gets into the four-digit range because they have seen their rates go up and they've never done anything about it. Make sure that you go with my good friends over at TGS Insurance. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323, TGSinsurance.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.